Good morning, Grace Church. It's so good to be in Midhurst. I love coming up to Midhurst. I mean, in fact, I do love going up to Chichester, the other sites. For those of you who don't know, as John said, my name's Simpson. I'm part of the eldership team, and I'm usually seen leading worship across the sites as we are a multi-site church. And it's good to be here. I love coming up to Midhurst. There's just something about Midhurst that just feels good, and it feels nice. I live in Bognor, sunny Bognor Regis, with my wonderful wife, who's gone to take the kids to their groups. I have 5 children, 4 of them being girls, until 2 years ago, God showed great favour in granting me with a son. Who you've seen running about at the back. He thinks he's the boss, but he'll soon know. It's funny how kids work. The other day, I was getting him ready for bed, you know, and you get him ready for bed and go downstairs, sit, and, you know, they have their milk and watch a bit of CBeebies. And then I said to him, son, you know what time it is now? It's time for you to go to bed. He goes, no, daddy, it's time for you to go to bed. but we just love them, and they're great, and it's good to have a big family. I'm one of 10, you know, and I've got 7 sisters and 2 brothers. So having the 4 girls was no shock. You know, having the boy was a shock, but having the 4 girls was no shock. It's great to be with you guys this morning. It's been a while since I've spoken, and I don't know whether that's a good thing, because it's been a year, or a bad thing. But they've trusted me to come back, so I'm grateful, and I'm really not complaining. We're going to be getting into the Bible today and looking at the next part of Joshua. For those of you who don't have a Bible, please stick up your hands and feel free as they come round to take one, and keep hold of it. If you don't own one, keep hold of it as a gift from Grace Church. Okay? We're going to be in Joshua 10, verses 1 to 15. We'll get into the Bible reading shortly. But before that, I'm going to provide you with some background information of where we are going to be going. Throughout the series, we've seen God's hand upon Joshua and the Israelites, and how Joshua, through the promise of God, has led the Israelites into the land. We've seen them overcome Jericho, cross the River Jordan, and how they finally arrived into the Promised Land. We've seen over the last couple of months as a church how Israel have learned about God being the Father, about winning battles through worship. We've learned how the church is saved by grace in order to be holy, and how we need to take sin seriously. We've learned our prayer is very important and not to be taken for granted. I know Chris spoke on that last week, on prayer and its importance. And we will be touching on a bit of that, so there will be a little bit of overlap as we get into the talk. We've also seen how the Israelites had taken Jericho and Ai, and how the Gibeonites had got scared and were forced into deceiving the Israelites, and how Israel were deceived because they didn't seek God and come to him in prayer. So, I ask you the question, if I can get this working, what battles are you facing today? What battle are you facing today? And we'll come back to that question later on, but I do want you to think about it through the talk. Now, what do I mean by that? It could be, for example, family situation. It could be within your marriage. It could be financial. You could be struggling with your identity. There could be ongoing sin issues and addictions. Yeah? Battles that we face on a daily basis. What battles are you facing today? Okay, let's get into the scripture. Joshua 10. I'm going to read from 1 to 15. Okay. As soon as Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had captured Ai and had devoted it to destruction, doing to Ai and its kings as he'd done to Jericho and its kings, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were warriors. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoam, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth, to Japhia, king of Lachish, to Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, and let us strike Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp in Gilgal, saying, do not relax your hand from your servant. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel, while they were going down to the ascent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Aijalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are so good to us. Father God, I thank you now, Lord Jesus, that your hand is mighty to save. And we just, in just reading this passage, now, Lord, we pray now, Lord Jesus, that you would just captivate our hearts. That this morning now, Lord Jesus, that you would just speak to us now, Lord, that we would leave here now, Lord Jesus, just knowing more of your grace, knowing more of your favor, knowing how to battle through difficult times. Thank you that you are a good God. And we worship you. Be with us this morning in your name. Amen. So I've entitled my talk, Understanding the Spiritual Battle. Understanding the spiritual battle. Now, to understand the spiritual battle, let's understand first the physical battles we face and the spiritual battles we face within this context. We know that the Israelites would have fought a physical battle. That would have been with weapons. There were swords, arrows, whatever they had, they would have fought a physical battle. Now, I'm sure we all know what it is like to fight a physical battle. I know I do. Growing up on the streets of Liverpool, you know, I know what it is to fight physical, you know, and it's not nice. And it's painful at times. And so these guys went in fighting physical, with physical arms. But they also knew what it was like to have a God who fought for them in a spiritual sense. As they had seen his hand deliver them and fight for them on many occasions. It says this in Ephesians 6, verse 12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places." We need to understand that the battle that we face as Christians are not with weapons and fists and arms, but it will be against spiritual forces. It will be against cosmic powers. It will be against evil of this dark age. We need to understand that. So with that in mind, I have 3 points for us. Point number one is understanding our battles. Number two, why do we face spiritual battles? Number three is how do we overcome the battles that we face? How do we overcome the battles that we face on a daily basis? Okay. Understanding our battles. In chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, we read how the Amorite kings had joined forces to come up and attack Gibeon, who through their own deception in Joshua chapter 9 have been saved by the Israelites. We see back in chapter 9 how the Israelites have been deceived by not seeking counsel from God. You know, how we see that in our own lives today. It could be in a relationship, it could be in a job situation, it could be in a house move. How we so see that when we don't seek God, when we just try to do it on our own way, not seeking counsel, how things can go wrong. Yeah, the amount of times that I've spoken to youth and students about when they come to me and seek advice in relationships that they're in, and they're in a relationship that they probably shouldn't be in, and you'll say, you know, have you sought God's counsel? Oh, well, it seemed right. It just seemed, you know, everything was going honky-dory, and it just seemed to fit. You know, we need to seek God's counsel. You know, it's so rife in the society we live in today. We also see that in the Gibeonites joining with Israel, that they are now a part of God's family. Even through their deceit, they are still shown grace, favor, and mercy. Even in their deceit, they are still shown grace, favor, and mercy. Know that. Even in our sin, even when, you know, we are doing things wrong, God rescues us. Even in our sin, God rescues us. We need to understand that we all have a sinful nature. We are born into sin because of Adam and the fall. And that the flesh and the spirit are at war with each other. They're at war with each other. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these oppose each other to keep us from doing the things you want to do. That's Galatians 5, verse 17. James 4, 1 says this, what causes quarrels? What causes fights amongst you? Is it not that your passions, the flesh, are at war within you? I like when it says in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5, I like when it says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. It's by grace you are being saved. And you have been saved. It's by grace. Even though the Gibeonites did wrong, they are now saved because they are under God's covering. Do you know that when we come to Christ, when we come into God's family, we'll still come under attack in a big way? Have you ever noticed that? The minute you step out and walk in faith, the minute we take a step of faith for Christ, the things just seem to go wrong. Things just seem to fall down. We need to know and understand the battles that we face daily are real. Real. The battle that Gibeon was about to face was real. But they knew who to call upon. I ask you the question, do you know who to call upon in your time of trouble? Who would you call upon in your time of trouble? You see, in Joshua 10, 6, 8, it says this, and the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not relax your hand from your servant. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people at war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Something that we need to understand is Gibeon, the Gibeonites, they were sinners. They were sinners. God then saved them by joining with the Israelites under God's covering. You know what? God fights their battles. We are sinners. We get saved by accepting Jesus Christ into our lives. Guess what? God fights our battles. God fights our battle. Sin has no power when we choose to follow Christ. And God now fights our battles. Sin has no power. And God now fights our battles. Point two, why do we face spiritual battles? We have a real enemy. We have a real enemy. And he comes to steal and to destroy. In John 10, 7 to 11, it says this. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's an enemy at work, which is the devil. And he wants to steal. He wants to kill. And he wants to destroy your life. That's fact. But let's not worry, my friends. Let's not worry or be dismayed. For we have the Good Shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life so that you and me could be saved. Jesus laid down his life for the likes of you and me could be saved. This morning, there may be somebody who just needs to know that salvation. Today, God says, I am at the door. I am the door. If you enter, you will be saved. You'll find new pastures. You will find new life. That's you. At the end of the meeting, I'd love to be able to pray with you guys, with whoever may be feeling that. So we will allow some time at the end of the meeting. Can I also be bold enough to say, even when we face spiritual battles, even when we face spiritual battles, God is good. And he helps us to grow. He helps us to grow. Romans 5 verse 1 to 4 says, therefore, since I've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, I know that when I'm going through suffering or difficult times, the last thing that I want to do is rejoice. The last thing that I want to do is do a dance, celebrate. In fact, I'm probably moaning and grumpy. Just ask my wife. You know, I'm probably just going through it and just like, why? You know? But when I really think about it and look at the word and in the scripture that says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and a staff, they comfort me. Knowing that, the good shepherd's rod and staff are my comfort. Knowing that, it brings me to a place of worship. And adoration. So even through the tough times, even though I go through a battle, knowing that the good shepherd's rod and staff are my comfort, brings me to a place of worship and adoration. So how do we then overcome the battles that we face? I have a work colleague. He's worked for me for about 6 years. He's worked for me, in fact, he's worked for me longer than anybody else. He runs the business when I'm not around. In fact, some people say he runs the business. But we have a close friendship. We have a real close friendship. And he's real loyal. He's a real loyal friend and worker. But he doesn't know Jesus yet. He doesn't know Jesus yet. And we've had conversations about Christ, and we've talked about Jesus. And he always, and I've invited him to Alpha on many occasions, and he always goes, "Oh, if you can get my wife to come, I'll come." 6 weeks ago, yes, 6 weeks ago, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. That's spreading to the point where he can hardly speak. Me and Mel were devastated with the news, as well as the other guys that work with us. What can we do? Joshua knows that in facing the five kings of the Amorites, he would need God's help. Guess what? God comes to his aid. The Lord says to Joshua, "Do not be afraid. I've given them into your hands." Joshua had heard God speaking to him like that before in Joshua 1 verse 5. So he knew the battle was already won. The Gibeonites had also sinned. Had also sinned. Israel gained victory after victory after victory. And they'd seen God leading. The Gibeonites had seen God leading Israel through times of trouble to victory. So they knew who to put their trust in. Let me say this to you. We overcome the battles we face by calling on his name, by trusting and believing his word and walking it out in faith. Joshua called on God, trusted in what he said, and went into battle knowing that the victory was won. Ephesians 6, again, 10 to 13 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So for Chris, my colleague at work, what do me and Mel do? We stand firm on God's word and his promises. We stand firm on his word and his promises. And I say to Chris and Carol, Every time I go around and I'm about to leave, I say this to them. "I know you don't believe, but I know God that saves and heals and restores. and I'm trusting in God for a miracle. So now I'm going to pray. And he allows me to pray every single time. He allows me to pray. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him, the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Now, I'm not just praying for a physical healing. I'm also praying for a spiritual healing and salvation. Because I trust in God's word. I often hear people say, and I've said it before many times, well, all we can do is pray. And it's almost like a throwaway comment. It's almost like, well, yeah, the situation's tough, but all we can do is pray. Well, if all you can do is pray, that's good enough for me. Because when all you can do is pray, you are allowing God to have full control. And we need to be praying on all occasions, in every situation. James 4, verse 2 says this. You do not have because you do not ask. We need to be asking of God. It says this in James again. The effectual. And I like this. It's King James Version puts it best. It says this. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We learn to overcome the battles that we face by calling on the name of the Lord. And believing in his word. Because if God says it, in his word, he will do it. Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not a man that he should lie, or son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said it? And will he not do it? Or has he spoken? And will he not fulfill it? God says it, he will do it. So what about what happens with unanswered prayer? What happens about unanswered prayer? Well, let me tell you, we're in good company here. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 9 says this, Paul pleads with God three times about taking the thorn away from his flesh. And the response was this, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made stronger in weakness. And now Jesus, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed, if it's possible, please let this cup pass. But not my will, but your will be done. And he still went to the cross. You know what? I'm glad that prayer was unanswered. I'm glad he went to the cross for you and me. So that we can be free. We need to trust God in God's wisdom and know that in Romans 28, when it says, Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I've had lots of unanswered prayers, which I'm grateful for God not answering. We were meant to move away. Well, when I say we were meant to move away, me and my thought, God was calling us to move away. And we were going to go back to where we came, near Brighton, a place called Stenning. And we were just convinced that we were going to go. And I'd even mentioned it to the church, and I'd stepped down from all things. I'm still a part of the church, but I'd stepped down from leadership. And just doors never opened. And it wasn't until we sat down as a family and we just said, look, we're going to surrender our all to God. I'm giving you the short version. We're going to surrender everything to Him. The minute we did that, God just started to bless. God just started to open doors. The minute we said, we're here, God. We're here to serve you. It's your will, not ours. God just started to move. I am so grateful. So grateful that God knows best. I am so grateful for some of the prayers that we have thought, you know what, yeah, this is right. And God said, no, 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 my will. Because he knows best. We also realize that there are times when we pray for things like healing or something else like that, and it don't get answered in this lifetime. Now, I don't know what will happen to Chris, even when I'm believing and trusting for a miracle and his healing and his salvation. I don't know what will happen. But I do know this. God is sovereign over all. And I trust him in the good times and in the bad times. God is sovereign. I'm going to get the band to come up, Sam and Carol to come up. So, question. What about you and the battles you are facing today? It could be, as I said, a difficult marriage. Guess what? God will fight for you. A tricky relationship. God will fight for you. Financial difficulty. God will fight for you. Just everyday struggle of life. Do you know what? God will fight for you. See, in verse 89 of this passage, it says, we see Joshua didn't just take it for granted after God had spoken, but he acted upon God's word, and he was stirred into action. So many times we can hear God's voice and say, oh, well, God's going to do it. And we just do nothing. I wonder, well, why isn't it happening? Joshua was stirred into action. Joshua didn't just believe and do nothing. He believed and he acted. He stirred up the men. They marched through the night. And they saw the victory. We see that because of his faith and action, more men were killed by God's hand. More men than ever were killed by God's hand. Will you allow God to be sovereign and reign? Will you allow him to fight for you this morning. As we prepare as a church to take the land, we need to walk knowing that we have authority through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Spirit. And even in difficult situations, by allowing God to fight our battles, we shall overcome. As we worship, as we go into worship this morning, if you know God has been speaking to you, then I'd love to pray for you. So I'm going to get Sam to lead this song. And as she's leading through this song, if you want to come out for prayer, I'll be around to pray. Know this, prayer doesn't exist for God to find out what you need. Matthew 6:8 says, your Father knows what you need before you even ask. He knows what you need before you even ask.